Welcome back, everyone, to Wicked Wives. I'm your host, Alyssa. Nobody's joining me today, so it's just gonna be just me for a while, actually. I'm so sorry this has taken a while to record. Every time I went to record it, something would happen, and then I can't record it. And it's been like crazy for 3 weeks straight, and it's driving me insane. So I'm sincerely sorry. I really apologize. But since it's gonna be just me for a while, I can hopefully guarantee an episode every single week. Tasha, my other co-host, she has a lot of things going on in her life right now. She has to currently work full time, so she's not gonna be here as much as she used to be. I really hope that she does come and we see her soon, because I miss her like crazy. But on the stream, I don't think she's going to be here that often for a while. And everyone else that I ask doesn't really want to record with me, so it's just me. And I hope that's okay with you guys. I just want to say thank you as well. I know I'm rambling, and I know that you've waited so long for part two, but I really just want to say thank you real quick to everyone who stuck around. I am a stay-at-home mom, so my days can get pretty hectic, pretty long, and pretty stressful. And I just want to say thank you for letting me do something that I like to do. I like to sit down and talk about stuff that I like, whether it be cold cases, murder cases, you know, even we're going to have some anime episodes where we just talk about anime or video games. Like, I like to sit here and talk to you guys. That's kind of what relaxes me. That's the fun I have, shockingly. So yeah, thank you for sticking around and hanging out with me, because it feels like I can actually get a break, can actually relax for a second, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate all of you, you know, supporting me through all of it. That means a lot, so thank you, and I appreciate every single one of you, and I love every single one of you. You guys are awesome. I've actually started thinking about streaming on Twitch. I used to stream all the time, and then I stopped because, like, nobody was really watching. But I don't know. Let me know if you want me to stream a couple days a week. I have so many video games that I can stream, and we can have so much fun. But, yeah, just let me know. But, yeah, I guess we should just jump right into this. Last time we talked about Butch and what he did to everyone, we also talked about the case and Butch's story and how they found out it was him. We covered everything, and I briefly mentioned Kathy and George Lutz. And now we're going to get into Kathy and George Lutz, which I'm absolutely obsessed with Amityville. I have watched every single documentary on Amityville Horror. I have seen every movie on it. I mean, I love this case, and I've been fascinated about it ever since I saw it when I was younger. I don't know why. I'm weird. I mean, for God's sake, I have a true crime podcast. I mean, come on. But yeah, I love this case. But then after I looked at Kathy and George's stories, it might just be a bunch of hocus pocus. That's kind of sad. Like, it kind of gives a luster, tears the luster away from, you know, spooky. So I just want y'all to know going into this that you might get a little disappointed like I did, but there is hope. And I'm about to tell you what that hope is. So let's start from the beginning. Okay, Kathy and George Letts was married on July 4th, 1975. It's Independence Day. Okay, I wouldn't have my wedding on Independence Day, but that's just me. It's a lot going on that day already. Anyway, they were married each before, and they had three kids from Kathy's previous marriage. So she was married before George, but it didn't work out, obviously, and they broke up. So George insisted he adopted all of her kids and even went as far as changing their last name to Lutz. So, great guy so far. But not really, because he was abusive growing up and even was rumored to dabble in the occult. Which I'm not really the type to be like, you know, whatever, that's you, that's your religion, whatever, do you boo-boo. But the abusiveness, you could have done it without that. I mean, come on. Come on, George. They had two daughters before they divorced in 1980. So on top of the three kids that he adopted, he also had two daughters with Kathy after this. So, on December 18th, 1975, they started to move into the home. So this was before Amityville, and now they're moving into Amityville. So I think Kathy must have heard about like the murders and stuff because this is what tempted her to come and get a priest to bless the house while they moved in. So they weren't really moved in completely. They were moving stuff in, and she's like, "Hey, can you come bless my house, please?" And the priest was like, "Yeah, sure." So she probably even felt the bad juju or something, and she's like, "Hey." So the priest came in there and he was doing his thing. And it is said and quoted that the priest said it was cold. It was really cold in there. I'm like, well, gee, this is peculiar. Well, gee. Because it was a lovely day out and it was winter, yes, but it didn't account for that kind of coldness. I was also sprinkling holding water and I heard a rather deep voice behind me saying, "Get out." It seemed so directed toward me that I was really quite startled. I felt a slap at one point on the face. I felt somebody slap me, and there was nobody there. So this priest comes in, he's sprinkling holy water everywhere, and he's like, you know, doing his thing, and somebody tells him to get out and slaps this poor man. That's what he's saying happens, which is crazy. And I cannot, okay, like I curse like a sailor. I admit it, I'm guilty of it. And I had to, when I was reading the, well, gee, this is peculiar. I was like, wow, so that's what talking without cursing sounds like. Wow, there's no one here to laugh at my jokes. Damn. Okay, well, I thought it was funny. So yeah, but it was interesting. And this is his version of the story, which he ends up leaving and like does not want to go back in there. Obviously, from the movies, that's kind of how they depicted it, and that's literally what happened. So later, after this, after he left and after the blessing, he had blisters on his hands. And he called the Lutz to tell them what happened and like to warn them to be careful. But there was heavy static on the phone line and he couldn't hear anything. So that is the priest story of what happened. Whether it's true or not, don't know. And I'm gonna read now. I'm now gonna read all the things that are rumored about the house from the Lutzes. And after this, you can depict if the priest is telling the truth or not. I don't know. It's such a I'm torn. I'm really torn because I'm torn between this really sounds legit, like it could be horrible, and like some famous people have went into this house and had a horrible experience here. But then other people go in the house and like nothing happens at all. The famous people I'm about to talk about later is Ed and Lorraine Warren. And if you don't know who those people are, they're very professional demonologists. And she, Lorraine, is a medium. She can see and talk to spirits. She can communicate with everything. She can feel what's going on. And they swear up and down that this house is haunted. Okay. And I love them both. I'm not gonna get into them right now. I'll talk about them later, like later on. But I love both of them so much. And like, I wanna believe them. But then there's also a side that suggests that this is all fake. And we're about to talk about it right now. Okay. So the first thing, the first rumor that was going around, I guess, is the toilet bowls were dripping with black ooze. The Lutz actually said that they didn't drip ooze, but they did turn black on its own. I don't know how that's possible. And honestly, I mean, you have like five kids and two adults in this house, right? Yeah, okay, five kids and two adults in this house. How often do you clean that toilet bowl? Okay, but I'm just saying, okay, I'm a mom. My husband goes to the bathroom every single day and it gets filthy after one day. Filthy. I have to clean it often. Okay, so how often are you cleaning this toilet bowl? I'm just saying. Okay, the second rumor we're gonna talk about is actually an interesting one. Jody, if you watched all the movies, Jody was the imaginary friend that the little girl would speak to. And she apparently was a real story. Apparently, Jody would appear to their daughter in her dreams as an angel or a red-eyed pig. This also goes along with the red-eyed pig being seen in the windows in the movies. They depicted, if you haven't watched the original movie since the last part, why? And two, they actually depicted a, red-eyed pig that would look out in the windows every now and again. I think in one scene, maybe one or two scenes. I haven't watched it in a really long time, but so good. But yeah, it's legit. There was an imaginary friend named Jody, and the daughter would even draw pictures of her. I don't have it saved, and I'm so mad that I didn't have it saved. I can probably look it up and post it on Instagram and stuff, but she would post pictures about this. She would draw it constantly, and she would be like, "Oh, that's my friend Jody." And like, obviously, my kids talk to themselves, so it's like, "Oh, just kids being kids," but they legit think that there was something wrong, and this was Jody. And if you look at the victims, doesn't match up because the two girls that were murdered there was 13 and 18. So it's like there was no little girl named Jody. They were Dawn and Allison. So where's Jody coming from, you know? It could be just hocus pocus that a kid made up, or it could be legit, but apparently they were legit. This was legit. Another rumor. Daniel said that his hand was slammed into a window, like really, really hard. But as soon as he let it out, got it out, it was mysteriously healed. They were astonished when they took him to the ER and there was like no broken bones or anything. Which, you know, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if he really did get his hand slammed in the window and they're like, "Oh," or maybe he was faking it. I don't know. But they're saying that it happens and that he didn't get any broken bones when he took him to the ER. Okay. Another one that I'm going to touch on, and this one is actually a big one. Actually, the next two are both big ones. The red room in the basement. If you watch the movies, you'll show George goes down into the basement a lot and he uncovers a red room and he walks through it and he sees all these horrible things being tortured and all that. That never happened. Okay. The Red Room is real. Like, it's down there. However, Hollywood has exaggerated it 10 times. Like, of course, they exaggerate everything. So, this is no different. I briefly touched on this in the last episode. The Red Room is just sort of a closet, supply closet, that they kept all their valuables in. And it's literally like a closet in your house. Just small, dinky, maybe one shelf. So, the next one we're going to touch on is rumors of paranormal stuff happening on the set while they were filming. Apparently, there's rumors going around saying that people have been hurt on set. Things have been like flying across the rooms, stuff like that. All of that's fake. False. False. Face. All of it's false. Not true. Never happened. Cut that shit out. Nobody got hurt. Nobody even reported anything happening to them. Nothing's happened. So, through the whole filming set, nothing has been thrown. Nobody got hurt. Nothing was even reported of anything happening. Now, maybe people went to this house and saw something and they were too scared to say something because maybe they would be like, nah, you're crazy. But then one would think that you're in a famous haunted house. If you said you saw something, I'm pretty sure they would believe you, you know? But nothing was reported. And so maybe not. Another good point was George did say that every morning he did wake up at 3:15 a.m., which is the time of the murders. So that was legit. Not really sure like why he woke up. Like in the movies, he would wake up and he would like start hearing voices and start hallucinating and stuff. He didn't say anything about that. He just said that every morning he would wake up at 3:15 a.m. The family did report strange smells and cold spots throughout the house, which is a big alarm. If you're not really into paranormal stuff like I am a huge nerd when it comes to that. I myself am a sensitive. I can see and feel things that's not really, you know, quote unquote normal. So, like, I am huge on like paranormal stuff. Love it. I'm all about it. And strange smells and cold spots throughout the house is a big sign that there's something wrong. You either need to cleanse your house or you need to do something because there's something there. They apparently had this constantly. Constantly. They also, on top of this, said that Kathy, Daniel, and Christopher would be levitated off of their beds, but there's no evidence of this. Like, no photos, no nothing. In the Conjuring movies, they had actual photos at the end of them levitating off the beds. This is not that case. They just said that they did, and there's no evidence at all to support it. No eyewitnesses, nothing. So, like I said, is it a bunch of hocus pocus? Because that was all of the paranormal issues in the house that we just talked about. And in the movies that they horribly depicted and exaggerated tenfold. So, like, is it a bunch of hocus pocus? I don't know. See, there's so much that's like, this could have happened, and they're saying it happened, but then on the other hand, these other people are saying, like, there's nothing happening, there's nothing here. So it's like, it's a toss. It's like, what is the truth, really? But we never really look at why. Why would they lie about something like this, right? Where we're about to talk about a motive. For starters, Kathy and George were in horrible financial trouble. I think I read briefly that he gambled a little bit. Not sure how factual that is, but they were in horrible financial trouble. So the publicity and the movie deals for the story that they're making up would be a great way to get money. I mean, think about it. Everybody loves a good spook. I mean, hell, I love this horror movie because it's amazing. It's like, it's crazy. And they knew that that would be a great story to earn money with. Everybody would love it. And everybody did. However, their lawyer, which this should sound familiar, William Weber, said the Lutz came up with the story over bottles of wine and even agreed to split the profits. Now, profits, blah. Can I speak tonight? I don't know. nobody's here. Okay. Anyway, the lawyer, William Weber, actually is the lawyer from Butch's story. He defended Butch in the trials. So he is the same person. Now, I'm not saying they made this up, so like if any of the Lutzes hear this, please don't sue me. I doubt you will, but hey, long shot. I'm not saying they made this up, okay, but the lawyer is saying that, yeah, this is all bullshit. We sat down over a glass of wine, made up this story, and decided that we're going to make this famous and split the profit. Now, if you were going on that angle that they did make all this up, it would be a perfect person to help them. William Weber, the lawyer who defended the murderer. He would know so much about the case, like the 3:15 a.m. time for the morning, for the murders. He would know everything there is to know, all the secrets that maybe they didn't make public in this case. I mean, he would know everything, and he could probably spin a pretty good story with all the details that he was given during the time of defending Butch. So that's a pretty hard stance on that. However, you have William Weber, who, that's a really strong, I mean, in my opinion, that's a really strong case right there. Like I said, he knows a lot about the house. He knows a lot about the murderers. And he could spin a pretty crazy story easily. But then you look at the other side and you have the priest's story, the Lutz's story, and then you also have Ed and Lorraine Warren's story. And they swear by it. Now, there is a hole in William Weber's story, his little lie, I guess. They were in, the Lutzes were in a legal battle with William. So, while they were getting publicity for Amityville, they were in a battle with William for money, and it could be a reason for William to discredit anything they are saying about this house. So that is a motive for William to be like, no, they're making it up, they're crazy, don't listen to them, whatever. Okay, that's the only hole in the William Weber stance. So I don't know. I have no idea if he's telling the truth. I have no idea. George did, however, claim to hear voices just like Butch did, because if you remember last episode, Butch tried to do an insanity plea saying that the voices told him to do it and he was going crazy. However, they took a insanity test, I guess. I don't know what you would call that, but he was proven to be fine. He's fine. He's not crazy. And so George, now the new owner, is now claiming that he's hearing voices as well. So it's like, okay. I don't know if that's true. I have no idea. Because Butch actually went on to change his story over and over again, saying that he really didn't hear any voices. When, you know, yeah. So I don't know. Either way, though, Daniel, the one of the sons, swears by the stories and says the house actually ruined his life and he has nightmares about it to this day. So, I have no idea. Like I said, both of the stances are so strong, it's hard to depict on if this is really true or if it really isn't. Now, I am actually going to talk about Ed and Lorraine briefly. There really isn't much to say about this. She gives a big description about what happens, and I'm only going to do a clip of it. But all of the stories from Amityville gained their attention, and Ed and Lorraine visited the house where Lorraine and everyone set up research, like cameras. They set up equipment to help them, figure out if something was there. And when she was asked about, like, how did the house feel? What do you think about it? She was quoted saying it's evil. It's the personification of evil, and she will never go there again. So that house creeped her out horribly. She later claims that a huge evil force followed her home from the house, making her dogs act drunk and try to pull all of the energy from her and Ed. Which, paranormal tip, if you have an animal and they start barking randomly at stuff or staring at stuff, you should probably look into that. Once your animals start acting a little weird, that's a very strong sign that there's something in your house and you need to be worried. And Lorraine actually took care of it and it left, but like I said she will never return to the house again. It is horrible. They did capture a camera, or not a camera, damn it. They did capture a photo of a boy on the staircase, and it's actually a very popular photo. I'll post it, don't worry, mostly on my Twitter. But they say that they're positive that the photo of the little boy on the stairs is John. I do believe that was his name. John. Yeah, the 7-year-old boy who was murdered. And that was his spirit, pretty much. So, that's kind of cool, I guess. Cool and sad. If it really is him, it's like, oh, that sucks. You're still in the house. But it is kind of cool that they captured that. A lot of people were like saying it was fake and like they framed it. But they swear that that is a legit photo and it really did happen. I just want to also note that Kathy and George left, and now there is actually new tenants in the home. There's people living there right now, but they haven't reported anything at all. Like, no paranormal issues, nothing. However, to counter that, both of the Lutzes took a lie detector test, which don't ever freaking do. Don't ever do that. To prove their innocence after the rumors began of them faking it. And they passed. Which, okay, you don't ever do a lie detector test because those things suck. All right, they just monitor your heart rate and, like, your. How, Pretty much if you're nervous or not. Okay, that's pretty much what it comes down to, if you're nervous or not. And the more nervous you are, the more likely you are to fail. Okay, and who wouldn't be nervous taking a freaking lie detector test? Okay, first off, you have people in the room sitting there staring at you, asking you questions. Second off, whatever you're doing for this lie detector test probably isn't good. Okay, I get nervous when people talk to me. I'm like, oh, have a great day, nice night, yeah. Okay, I can't even talk to people, okay? I trip up my words, I sound like an idiot. I can't even imagine having to sit there with like this thing hooked up to me and having to talk for like 30 minutes and answer questions. Like, it's nerve-wracking. Don't ever take a lie detector test. Even if you're innocent, don't do it, okay? Fucking don't. But the fact that they did take a lie detector test and they passed, that is ridiculous. That's crazy. That supports everything that they're saying, pretty much. I mean, it's not impossible to pass a lie detector test, but it's crazy if you do. Okay, that's great. So anyway, I digress. Kathy sadly passed away in 2004 due to emphysema, while George died in 2006 due to heart disease. So that's pretty much it. This was actually a really quick case, so that's kind of shitty. But yeah, this is all the facts about Amityville House and the brutal murders that happened within its walls. Is it really haunted, or is the haunting something made up for a quick buck? What we do know is six people lost their lives, and Butch will never see freedom again. And that's a good thing, honestly. That's it. That's all we know. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Like I said, I am so sorry this took forever. And honestly, I'm so sorry that this only took 30 minutes to record. And it's kind of like, wow, that was a tease and a build up, you know? So yeah. But I hope you guys enjoyed it. Next week, I am torn between two cases. There's a case that I want to touch base on. It's like really popular. Like it's in the media right now. It's not a murder trial or anything like that. It's actually a domestic violence case. I was a survivor of domestic violence myself, and to see someone so innocent getting treated like shit because of an accusation that's not even like, I am heated about this case, okay? I'm heated. If you don't know what I'm talking about already, I'm talking about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Fuck that bitch, okay? Fuck, and I cannot stress this enough, that bitch. Like, I can't. I might do that next week. I seriously might. I have been following it so closely. I have been literally saving everything. Like, and a lot of people that I talk to know a little bit about it, but they don't know the full extent until I explain what happens to them, like what happened and what's really, and they're like, oh wow, okay, yeah. So I might do that. But then there's also a missing person case that I'm looking at of like a little girl, and she's still missing to this day, and her parents, it's bonkers, okay? I can't even, it's fucking ridiculous. So I'm torn. Maybe I'll do a poll on Twitter and you guys can pick. If you guys would like that, that'd be great. 'Cause whatever you guys pick, I'll do. But yeah. We'll see. I'm deciding. The Amber Heard case and Johnny Depp case though. Oh, it's gonna be a heated one. It's gonna be a heated one. I might need help with that case. I might have to bribe somebody to come record with me. But anyways, this is the end, and I always suck at wrapping stuff up. I know. I'm sorry, guys. Like I said, I just like talking to you guys and taking a break. I just want to say thank you guys so much for all the support, sticking around with me. I love you all to death. And this is awesome that I get to take time out of my crazy, sometimes horrible day to just sit here and ramble about stuff that I love. And I appreciate it. And I'm so sorry that it's like far and few between. But now that I definitely know that's gonna be me and might be just me for a little bit, pretty sure I'm gonna give you some episodes frequently. So yeah. And then if you wanna see me stream, let me know. Because I have a streaming page as well. I just don't touch it much. So, yeah, whatever. But yeah, Look for all the photos on Instagram at Wicked Wives and then Twitter. We also have a Facebook, but I don't really do anything on the Facebook page. I honestly post all of the content on Twitter mostly. So if you're not following me on Twitter, you're missing out a lot of the photos and giveaways and stuff like that, because Instagram, honestly, I don't care. I hate Instagram. Mostly because I can't post anything on the computer. It has to be on the phone, and that's stupid. So stupid. I hate it. And I looked up a way to try and get to where I can post on the computer. It's stupid. It didn't work. It didn't work. So yeah. I do know that I want to do a fun episode soon, and I might do it on anime. Oh, I just started watching My Hero Academia. I am in love. Love it so much. I was like, Naruto was my number one anime. Okay, listen, I am a die-hard Naruto fan. I know everything about that anime. I even know their freaking birthdays, okay? It's crazy, okay? And then I started watching My Hero Academia, and oh my god, it's slowly taking Naruto's place. I am in love. So we might have to do an anime episode and talk about that because but anyway, okay, I'll wrap up. I'm so sorry again. I'm so sorry that this took forever to get to you guys. And I'm sorry that it's gonna be just me for a little bit. Like I said, Tasha loves you guys. She sends her love, but she's dealing with some things and it's keeping her from the podcast for a minute. Nothing serious, don't worry, but she might not be here for a little bit. But we love you. Thank you so much for supporting us, and I promise you, cross my heart, you're gonna have another episode next week. And you guys are going to decide which one you want. Would you like Amber Heard, or would you like the missing person case? I'll let you know. So, yeah. Stay weird, losers. I'm just kidding. Bye.